Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
From the Land de Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the ninth day of March 2015. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk with Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Preview tomorrow's World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates Report. That's due out at 11 a.m. Central Time from the United States Department of Agriculture. We'll discuss what's been happening in the pork world and what prices might look like as we move forward. Chris Hurt will be here to take up that topic, and we'll take a look too at the cash grain market and the agricultural weather forecast as we make our way through this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, let's check the numbers as they finished up in Chicago for this Monday afternoon. Futures were higher in the corn pit, up 4 cents at $3.83 and a quarter in the lead option March. The May at 3.88 and 3/4, 2 and 3/4 higher in July at 3.96 and a quarter, 2 and a quarter higher. December of next year at 4.12 and 3/4, the new crop up 2 cents, and March contract for the new crop at 4.21 and 3/4, a penny and 3/4 higher. From the soy complex, bean futures finished at 9.88 and a quarter, up 9 cents. May 9.93 and a quarter, 8 and a quarter higher in July at 9.98 and a half, up 8 cents. August futures $9.96 and 3/4, 7 and 3/4 higher. In November, soybeans $9.72, up 6 and 3/4 for the day. Bean meal futures at $3.43.90, $6.90 higher. The bean oil at $30.88, down 26 cents. Live cattle futures from the CME Group at $150, $54 that is. In the April contract, 65 cents lower. June at $146.10. Down a dollar even. Feeder cattle at 209.40 in the March, 32 and a half lower. The April at 208.25, down 32 and a half. And the lean hogs on the day finished the April at $66 and a dime. That's 2.5 cents lower. The May futures at 76.42 and a half, or 82 and a half cents higher. Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. We'll be at the All Day Ag Outlook at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana tomorrow. Doors open, by the way, at 7:45 a.m. That in the Central Time Zone, 8:45 in the Eastern Time Zone.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil for the day at $50.10 a barrel, up 49 cents. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $1.84 and a tenth, that's 2 7/10 of a cent lower. Gasoline on the wholesale or RBOB at $1.87 and 4 tenths, down 7 tenths of a cent. And natural gas for the day at $2.67 and 9 tenths, that's 16 cents lower. Ethanol futures at $1.47 and 2 tenths when they finished up were a penny and 2 tenths of a cent higher. Dow Jones Industrial Average about 151 points higher at this hour at 18,012. The gold futures at around $1,166 are up about $2.25, and the U.S. dollar at 97.58. That's down 0.024 for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area today. Partly sunny skies, a high of 48, south-southeast winds at 7 miles an hour. Tonight, cloudy, a low of 36. Again, those southeast winds remain at 5 to 7. They'll calm down during the evening and bring us a beautiful partly sunny sky tomorrow with a high of 57 degrees on a light south-southeast wind. And then Tuesday evening, partly cloudy and a low of 36. Wednesday, sunny skies, a high again at 60 degrees, calm winds Wednesday night, clear and 36. Thursday, mostly sunny and a high of around 56 degrees. By the time we get to Thursday night, a little rainfall, just a chance or two, mostly cloudy and a low of 39. Chance of rain on Friday, that's set at about 40%, mostly cloudy and 55. Friday night, a chance of rain, mostly cloudy and 38. By Saturday, that clears out and it turns partly sunny with a high of 55 degrees. More on the weather forecast at the bottom of the half hour.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
Let's check now with Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, on this ninth day of March. You're listening to the Closing Market Report, and he has an update of what happened in the futures markets and, well, probably a preview of tomorrow's USDA WASD and, well, the all-day ag outlook, too. Hi, Kurt. How are you?
Doing good. Thank you, Todd.
I'm looking forward to tomorrow. It should be a doubly good day because it's USDA report day, and that means we have something fresh and new to talk about. And we'll be at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Have you thought about all the good news you'll be telling producers yet?
Well, we'll see what the numbers are tomorrow. It's one of those reports, though. I don't know if it's going to be a big impact, per se, as far as the U.S. numbers. I would believe they'll wait and see what the stocks report says at the end of the month before fine-tuning the supply-demand balance sheet a whole lot. You know, as far as new crop, we won't see those until down the road, until we get the acreage out and kind of go from there. But for the most part, you know, the world numbers could be moved around a little bit. That might create a little excitement, but from here until the end of the month, we'll be anticipating the acreage and stocks report, and after that, it's kind of be in the hands of the weatherman from there on out.
Okay, so speaking of this acreage report, the prospective plantings report due out on the last day of the month of March, it along with the quarterly grain stocks numbers. Many people looking forward to that number. In January, Informa said 88 million acres for both corn and soybeans. USDA in its ag form says, no, a bit more corn around 89, and let's drop the soybeans to 83.5. Farmers will have their say because this is the survey of farmers that USDA has taken, and then they have some fudge factors, I believe, that they use in the process. Have you been hearing a changing mind of the farmers as we go through February and now the month of March as it relates to what they think will be put in the ground this spring?
From last fall, early winter, yes. You know, at that time window, beans were above $10, and guys kind of penciled in $10 and said, yeah, I'm going to do more beans this coming crop year. But after we saw the price break, then the mindset came in, well, if beans going down lower, and if I don't have them sold, I don't know if that pencils out quite as well as what I was looking at last fall. So I think, you know, the trade's backing off on the bean number being as high as it was and maybe the corn number as low as I do believe there is going to be more bean acres and less corn acres overall. How much, we'll find out. It'd be a good survey to take at the Beef House tomorrow because that's where the source is coming from, is from producers. All I know is a lot of these guys sold a lot of bean seed or booked a lot of bean seed over the winter. Hate to see them lose their trip to Cancun they won, so there's going to be a lot of pressure to get these beans delivered. But, you know, here in the Midwest, mostly we're going to probably stick to the rotation, except for a few areas where guys want to get off a little corn on corn. And two, weather's going to be a big factor, too. You know, traditionally, if we have a good spring in here, guys have a tendency to just go a little heavier in corn, what they indicated during the winter months.
What was behind today's rally in the grain markets?
Several things. One, we got a little oversold on the downside. We've got the crop report tomorrow and a little short curving ahead of that. You know, well-advertised flooding in northern parts of Argentina, fear that, you know, harvest activity could slow down. Renewed talk of trucker strikes in the Brazil area could maybe slow down transportation a little bit. So mainly out of the bean sector, saw some buying interest come. Wheat a little higher on ideas. We're low enough where we could generate some feed wheat usage or a little export business. And corn was a kind of a little bit of a follow here. So just a combination of things. True market direction will be after we trade tomorrow's crop report.
Okay, so I guess we have to really wait it out at this point. Anything the producers should be considering before that report comes out, or do they just lay back and make sure they have their crop insurance decisions made by Friday?
Well, the crop insurance has been the main route, but we've been a big promoter of putting a price floor underneath the marketplace. That way, if these bearish news items do kick in, you've got some downside coverage. For some reason, weather kicks in or world event kicks in, and there's some upside, you've got the cash green to market higher. So we continue to use the price floor strategy here to give the producer some flexibility here to take advantage of some ups and downs.
Is that equally important for corn and soybeans?
We kind of feel most of the risk is to the downside in the soybean complex. You know, fundamentally, in through here, it's kind of hard to ignore the big numbers in front of us. We came off a very tight situation last year, 92 million bushel carryout, and this year there was a little great urgency to get some inventory booked. It's helped keep the market firm, but as we move down the road here, we feel there's bigger risk in beans, whereas we're probably bullish corn from the standpoint corn demand's going to start picking up here as we move forward. A few less acres, put a trend line yield on it. The supply-demand balance sheet on corn is going to be a little tighter. So we like to be positive corn, and we're concerned about the bean complex as we go into next fall.
Now, Kurt, I'm looking forward to seeing and visiting with you and with Pete Manhart from your office tomorrow during the All-Day Ag Outlook. We'll start at 7:45 a.m. Doors open anyway there at the Beef House. I'll see you bright and early tomorrow.
Looking forward to it, Todd.
All right. That, of course, is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and will be one of more than a dozen analysts, actually 15 in all toll, that will be at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana tomorrow. If you didn't get your ticket, don't worry, because we'll post this up to our website. It'll take a bit, so you're not going to get everything right away, but we'll put it there on the website at some point during the week, this week or next week, and you'll be able to hear what everybody has to say. Of course, the Beef House doors open tomorrow for this All-Day Ag Outlook, again at 7:45 a.m. for the Eastern, or rather the Central Time Zone, and 8:45 a.m. if you happen to be in the Eastern Time Zone.
USDA says it is withdrawing proposed regulatory changes on biotech crops. USDA noted there is little agreement in the public over what a genetically engineered crop is or whether it should be regulated. In withdrawing the proposed rule, USDA says that it will begin fresh stakeholder engagement, such as creating a series of webinars to allow the public an opportunity to provide new feedback. Information on those webinars will be announced later this month. APHIS's decision comes as the National Research Council, an arm of the National Academies of Science, works on a new report about the science and safety of biotech crops and ingredients from biotech crops and foods. That study could later translate into different policy changes. China's imports shrank in February for a second month in a new sign of weakness in the world's second-largest economy. Imports contracted by 20.5% to $108.6 billion compared with a year earlier. China's appetite for imported raw materials and consumer goods has ebbed as economic growth declined to a two-decade low of 7.4% last year. The International Monetary Fund and other forecasters expect growth to decline this year to 7% and further in 2015. China's global trade surplus widened to $60.6 billion. The surplus with the U.S. is $19.9 billion. McDonald's says global sales declined in February, including a 4% drop in the U.S. that the company blames on aggressive competitive activity. Global sales fell 1.7% at established locations. In the division, including Asia, the Middle East, and Africa, sales were down 4.4%. The world's largest restaurant chain by sales is battling changes in consumer tastes and economic setbacks globally. A new survey from the National Association of Business Economists says that 71% of 293 economists polled expect the Federal Open Market Committee to raise a federal funds target rate this year. The rate has been near zero since the end of 2008. But 57% of those polled for the semi-annual survey say uncertainty over fiscal policy is not restraining the pace of recovery. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media, puts together our all-day Ag Outlook event. That is tomorrow at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. If you've got your tickets, be sure to come. If they didn't come to you in the mail, make sure you come along. Don't worry about not having your tickets. We have a list, and we'll check you in as you make your way through the lines. The doors open at 7:45 a.m. Central Time, 8:45 a.m. in the Eastern Time Zone. Again, tomorrow at the Beef House, 7:45 a.m. in the Central Time Zone, 8:45 a.m. if you arrive out of the Eastern Time Zone. And Dave and I are really looking forward to seeing you there. Up next, you know, pork producers, it seems, may have expanded sow numbers and farrowing intentions more than USDA picked up back in December. I'll have more on pork supplies in the last half of this year and how they're expected to be up 6 to 7%. And if that really is the case, what impact it might have on the price paid to producers. If the number of sows farrowed is even more robust than many now believe, it could mean 8 to 10% more pork produced in the last half of the year. Prices would continue to weaken. Here's how Purdue University ag economist Chris Hurt sees the trend developing.
Using year-to-date actual prices and then futures forecasts for the remainder of the year suggest a yearly average price near $55 per live hundredweight. That's down from the extraordinary record of $76 in 2014. Now, previous to that, the record was $66 in 2011. First quarter prices could average near $51, then move to the higher 50s, around 59, I think, for the second and third quarters, and close the year out in the very low 50s.
Fortunately for pork producers, costs of production are expected to be at five-year lows in 2015, with the cost of feed dropping by nearly $5 per live hundredweight marketed. Still, the record high profits of 2014, says Chris Hurt, are expected to come back to earth this year.
Last year's estimated profits were $53 per head, beating the previous annual record of $39 per head in 2005. Given current anticipated hog prices and cost, modest losses are expected in the first and the fourth quarters this year, with about $19 per head of profits in the second and third quarters. Now, that would give us a yearly modest profit of about $8 a head at this point.
Pork producers, then, need to be cautious about further expansion until more information can be gathered, thinks Hurt. The first question is, how important will PED losses be to the hog numbers this year? And secondly, has the industry already expanded more than USDA picked up in the December Hogs and Pigs report? Weekly slaughter numbers will provide information on past PED losses, and the March Hogs and Pigs report on the 27th, that'll give clues to the degree of expansion. If the industry has already expanded sufficiently to drive prices down near cost of production, further expansion could push the industry into losses. Feed prices are expected to be the lowest, by the way, since 2010, but yield variability has been pretty high in recent years. U.S. yield variability is particularly high on corn, and with fewer acres planted in 2015, likely, lower yields could still cause much higher feed prices than are now being anticipated by the corn futures markets. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. This is the Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason on the phone line for this ninth day of March is Amy Sage. She's at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County to take up the cash grain market. Hi, Amy. How are you on this beautiful Monday afternoon?
Excellent. How about yourself?
Well, if I was not in the basement of Bumford Hall in an 8-foot room with no windows, well, I do have a window, except it opens to another room, and actually they have it blocked up, so I haven't seen it. I take it it's nice outside. I can see it's warm. So.
It looks nice out from here, too. Yep.
This is one of those days you wish you were outside, but you're inside, and you know, we're having fun actually inside getting ready for our all-day outlook tomorrow. Looking forward to seeing everybody. But I know you've been hearing from farmers, the roads probably, will they change the postings and will things be able to move pretty soon more easily than they have, do you suppose?
It feels like it anyways. We're getting a little bit of truck traffic today, but obviously with warmer temperatures here too, it's a little sloppy, but hopefully movement won't be restricted by roads here going forward. And it looks like we've got a pretty good forecast now for at least the next couple weeks. So should see some movement pick up here ahead of planting.
It would be nice for that to happen, but I know there's a magic number out there and it starts with a 4 generally, and we're kind of long.
It does.
We're kind of a long ways away from that, right?
Yeah, we're about 20 cents away from there. So a lot of what's moving right now is just taking advantage of DP rates and reservations. But like you say, we'll probably see some farmers selling if we get to the $4 mark. Have seen a little bit of liquidation just based on cash flow needs, but not a ton at this point. And therefore, we've seen basis levels continue to stay firm throughout this entire winter and now going into spring.
Yeah, you're on maize, right, for the spot bid?
We are, yes.
Yeah, and so how far under are you?
So we're 10 under the May for corn, and we're 8 under the May for cash beans.
Oh, so you're only at 83 for cash beans. Farmers been willing to take advantage of that at all?
Not really.
They want a 10.
We want a 10. We want a 10 and a 4. So, and realistically, you know, I think that there is a possibility we might have a little bit of legs left with corn. Just, you know, and at least when we got to see if we're going to have the acreage that we need for new crop. There's plenty of old corn out there, as we know, but could see new crop maybe give us a little pop in the old crop here and maybe some planting delays or something like that we might trade later on. Beans, we can't logically come up with a good reason for it to continue to go higher outside of these fluke instances such as this strike in South America, but they seem to find strength here, so you know, maybe that $10 mark isn't that far out of reach for guys.
And crop insurance sales going well?
Yes, we're seeing pretty much what we typically do. Most of the policies being taken on corn, 85% revenue protection, which we do encourage at the Andersons, and you know, maybe some 80% in beans, a little less coverage, but still protecting revenue on beans.
All right. Hey, and your bids for the day are what?
379 cash corn, 388 for fall, 985 cash soybeans, 947 for fall beans. Cash wheat today, 480. New crop July, 484.
All right. As they would say on the CB10-4, good buddy, thank you much for being with us. I thought of that when you gave me the 10 and the 4 this afternoon. So I appreciate it, Amy. You have a great afternoon. All right?
You too. Thanks, Todd.
That, of course, is Amy Sage. She's from the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Joins us on this Monday afternoon edition. Comes to you from Illinois Public Media.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC, providing nationwide land auctions, farmland sales and management, and financial advice for agribusiness. Information on upcoming land auctions and offerings can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
It's National Crab Meat Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1858, the first U.S. patent for a street mailbox was issued to Albert Potts of Philadelphia. It comprised a simple metal box designed to attach to a lamppost. By August, the boxes were found along the streets of Boston and New York City. In 1876, the new state of Colorado created a state board of agriculture to oversee a new agricultural college, which, according to its formation document, shall be a high seminary of learning in which graduates of both sexes can study those sciences and arts which bear directly on agriculture. In 1891, the Washington State Legislature approved the Puyallup Agriculture Experiment Station to study horticulture. In 1900, Howard Aiken was born, an American mathematician. He invented the Harvard Mark I, the forerunner of the modern electronic digital computer. By the way, the machine weighed 35 tons and had 500 miles of wire. In 1974, about 9,000 ILWU sugar workers went on strike for 39 days in opposition to plans by Grove Farm to displace some 100 workers. By the way, at the time of the strike, sugar came in at $300 to $350 a ton. Soon after, it went as high as $1,260 a ton because of an international shortage of sugar. And that's this day in agricultural history.
The closing agricultural market report is a programming production of on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at WILLAG.org. It is a Monday afternoon. On the phone line is Mark Russo. He's at Earth Risk Technologies in Chicago, Illinois. What a beautiful day it is here in my part of the world. How about in Chicago, Mark?
Well, Todd, actually looking outside here looks pretty similar to what you have in the Champaign-Urbana area here. Temperatures around 50 degrees. And this is the start here of a warm 10 stretch of days here coming up where temperatures will be warmer than normal as Pacific air streams in front into the Midwest here, and Arctic air is fully retreated here. And overall, a little taste of spring here after just one kind of, I don't know the best way to put it, but certainly some crazy winter weather here. It's pretty much as cold and as wintry as you can get here for the past few weeks.
Is it enough to block it out completely and get us started into spring early?
That doesn't appear the case here. It looks like after this next 10 days of warm conditions and actually a little bit of generally drier conditions too, except in the Ohio River Valley region, overall it looks like colder weather will return, or in other words, turning back to colder than normal readings during the 11 to 15 day time frame. And we think that'll continue through the final few days of March and even on into the start of April. Beginning to see signs that this overall warmer pattern that's transitioning right now will be short-lived. Some of those indicators include tropical convection across areas, or tropical thunderstorm activity in areas of the western Pacific Ocean, and then also the polar vortex, which is still around here, although it's much weaker here compared to the heart of winter, but is actually stronger than normal for this time of year. It looks like it may be returning here by the end of the month, which at least bring another round of below normal temperatures here in the Midwest.
Okay, so for the 10-day period, how much above normal temps, and for the following period, how much below normal temp?
Yeah, well, averaging out temperatures as we go through the next 10 days in areas of the western Corn Belt, overall temperatures will average about 10 to as much as 15, 16 degrees warmer than normal. And that's basically west of the Mississippi River. Here in Illinois and points east, you're talking over the next 15 days, generally departures in the range of about 5 to 10 degrees above normal. Specifically, that's highs in the 50s and 60s here across Illinois and adjacent areas.
And then for the following period, how much below do you suppose, or do we have a good handle on it yet?
Well, initially, as we get into that March 19th through 23rd time frame, most likely situation, temperatures about 3 to 6 degrees colder than normal, which again, we're talking later on in March, so our normals are on the rise here as we go through the month of March. So looks like some mild cold coming in, nothing extreme at the present time, but that's certainly something to watch as we progress through the month.
All right. Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us.
You're welcome, Todd.
That, of course, is Mark Russo. He's with Earth Risk Technologies out of Chicago, Illinois. Joins us here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. Thanks to you, too, for being with us. And I'm looking forward to seeing many of you tomorrow at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Doors open at 7:45 a.m. Central.